If you have any discomfort during the experience, please signal a facilitator.
All right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, January 19th, the current year. The justification for anything you want is that it is the current year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and continuing to beat the current year joke dead like a horse. I am Morps. Tonight I am suffering from making really bad jokes and drinking. Madman, what are you suffering from and what are you drinking?
I'm suffering from bored employment, working with stupid people, and I'm drinking the last of old Fizzy Wiggle in my apartment, possibly the last one in Bowling Green.
Damn. Oh yeah, I'm actually drinking Woodford Reserve. If you're gonna, you know, suffering from bad jokes and drinking Woodford Reserve, if you're gonna make the statement. Sarg, what are you drinking and what are you suffering from?
I am suffering from a severe EverQuest addiction, drinking Shock Top.
Static. Same question, man.
You don't have enough time to hear everything I'm suffering from. yeah, but I'm drinking Heaven Hill.
Hey, there you go. So, anyways, we can just start a new show on the station. What's Static suffering from today?
You know, my body's like a freaking 90-year-old. I'll be dead before the end of the year, probably.
There's that winning attitude.
Yep.
If I need a cleric, can we prop you up on a, I don't know, table somewhere?
Just wheel him around all the D&D games.
There you go.
For some reason, nobody wants to play a healer.
I recently purchased a whole bunch of microcontrollers. We can put some animatronics in his face, and you know, maybe a voice box somewhere, and just, you know, like write an Android app so that we need him to look mad. Here, look menacing. You know, his face kind of contorts and it plays yarr.
This is gonna freak some people out.
I like it.
So, anyways, for the discussion topic tonight, I have a story from the Register because that's a bastion of truth, isn't it? But anyways, it's an interesting story nonetheless. Go ahead and throw this in the chat room. I said throw it in the chat room, not print the chat room. Mobiterm keeps doing that. I don't know why. There we go. There's that. There's the article. I think I already threw it in there, but whatever. So, college fires IT admin, loses access to the Google email account, and then successfully sues the IT admin for $250,000. They just fired the guy. How do they expect him to pay it?
The paying it appears to be a countersuit.
So, shortly after, the American College of Education in Indiana fired IT administrator Treyano Williams in April 2016. It found that it no longer had any employees with admin access to the Google email service used by the school. Whoops!
Someone forgot to make a secondary admin account.
Whoops! Oh shit! We need IT people to make this stuff work? What the hell? In a lawsuit filed against Williams in July, the school alleges that it asked Williams to return his work laptop, which was supposed to have the password saved. But when Williams did so in May of that year, wait a minute, fired in July, asked him to return his laptop in May. So he returned his laptop before he was fired.
Or after?
May
maybe they forgot he
June?
Had it.
No. It's the next year.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Maybe it's the next year. Maybe they
Williams
forgot he
filed,
had it or something.
The lawsuit was filed against Williams in July of 2016. No. The school alleges that it asked Williams to return his work laptop, which was supposed to have the password saved. But when Williams did so in May of that year...
Look at the top line. He was
July
fired in April.
When,
he was fired in April.
The suit was
okay.
Happened.
Yeah. I was thinking he was fired in July. Okay.
Yeah, the suit was filed in July.
I'm like, wait a minute.
We must get our dates right.
Calendars are hard, man. Okay. When Williams did so in May that year, the complaint says the computer was returned wiped with a new operating system and damaged to the point it could no longer be used. Oh, bullshit. Most IT people take care of their laptops.
Unless you know you're about to get fired and have decided to delete the only laptop you know that has the password they need on it and possibly break your shit in retaliation for getting canned.
I've thought about it.
Cycros was calling me an idiot in the chat room as well, by the way, for misreading that. That's fine. Call me on it when I'm wrong. I'd rather get corrected than, you know, persist in false beliefs. Let's see. ACE claimed that its students could not access their Google-hosted ACE email accounts and or their online coursework. The school appealed to Google, but Google at the time refused to help because the ACE administrator account had been linked to Williams' personal email address. Oh, that was a mistake.
Oh, that's double bad.
Yeah, no, you set up cloud services either using a shared administrative account or what we do, which is we have an alias that goes to a bunch of people. So that... the company can at least retain access to the email account that sets it all up. Oh, that's not good. By setting up the administrator account under a non-ACE work email address, Mr. Williams violated ACE standard protocol with respect to administrator accounts. Well, actually, if all of their email was hosting in Google, he may have had to use a private email address to get it started. You can't have the primary email address be in the account because you need to be able to get access in case the account goes down. With respect to administrator accounts, the school states, ACE was unaware that Mr. Williams' administrator account was not linked to his work address until after his employment ended, which means nobody was bothering to look at what he was doing. Yeah, this thing is fucked up on all sides.
He's IT. You don't question them.
Yeah. According to the school's court filing, Williams, through his attorney, said he would help the school reinstate its Google administrator account, provided the school paid $200,000 to settle his dispute over the termination of his employment. That amount is less than the estimated $500,000 in harm the school says it has suffered due to the inability to access its Google account. I wonder how they put a number on that. I'm just kind of curious. According to a letter from Williams' attorney in Illinois, Calvetta J. Frederick. Frederick's letter claims that another employee set up the Google account and made Williams an admin, but was not the controlling administrator. So another employee set it up. It says the school locked itself out of the admin account through too many failed password attempts. So, you know, the guy's saying there's other admin accounts and the school's just fucked up. Let's see. Where was I? Williams, in a countersuit filed last month, claims his termination followed a pattern of unlawful discrimination by the school in the wake of a change in management. In a phone interview with the Register, Frederick said she filed a federal lawsuit in Illinois against the school, which has yet to respond. We would hope that the school's action in Indianapolis would be viewed as retaliation, which we believe it was, and that the judgment would be vacated and we would prevail in the discrimination claim. Well, of course you would say that. That's everything you want to happen. According to the complaint she filed in the court in Illinois, Frederick said Williams wrote a letter to a supervisor complaining about the poor race relations at the school, and as a result of that letter, he was told he had to relocate to Indianapolis. That's how the whole thing started, he said. His working remotely had always been a condition of his employment. The school, she said, knew he could not do that because of his parental obligations requiring him to remain in Illinois. Frederick had said the school had been subject to several discrimination claims over the past 2 years. It's a sad situation, she said. For one thing, they're ending remote employees, which I've actually seen a lot of companies doing that lately. So I think that's just a trend. I don't think that's a... I don't know. Static, I know you do some remote, or quite a bit of remote. I mean...
Yeah, so it is in the case of when contracts get changed, such as our case, yeah, we have a lot of people that are no longer able to work remotely. But that's simply because of a mismanagement step. But that's okay. I think it's going the other way. You're seeing more and more freelance instead of necessarily full-time employee remote work.
Oh, you're okay. I guess you're doing it like a contractor instead of as an employee. Yep. Okay, so, but I mean, yeah, hell, where I work, they recently, got rid of a bunch of remote employees. Well, they gave them the option to become normal employees who work at one of the offices, or they could be laid off. They weren't fired; they were laid off. But there were quite a few of them who worked in there because there was not an office to get to and no way to move in a quick amount of time. So, they had several people get laid off. I don't know time frames, but I do know they at least tried to work with some of them before they let them go.
You're willing to work. I don't see it as an issue. Like, I know it takes you a few weeks to move. We'll give you a month or so, whatever. Just you need to be here.
Yeah, see, I think it was more they just didn't want them. I know several of them just did not want to move. So, I don't have all the details because that happened in my own company, and they're not, of course, they haven't published that kind of crap. So,
Funny part is I'm reading his countersuit here right now, mm-hmm. and so there was the special separation benefits and general release also required Williams to give up any right he might have to file a complaint about his treatment while an employee of ACE. It keeps going on here. On February 23rd, it's basically saying, so he worked remotely, and if he took the special separation part, it would cause him to violate a court-ordered joint parenting agreement as to his minor child. So,
He really was kind of stuck there, wasn't he?
He was stuck, but at the same time, too, they're telling him, well, if you take the separation, then you can't counter-sue us later. And so there's probably stuff going on both sides, to be
honest.
That
second part, I don't think is enforceable.
Let's see. Yeah, rather than support Williams in his position, defendants intentionally discriminated against Williams by refusing to allow him to participate in work-related training, paying Williams less than his co-workers. Well, that happens to a lot of people.
Yeah, it says exactly that. He had three separate different title changes, but no pay increases.
Yeah, that happens to people in IT, though. It's a way of promoting them without actually promoting them.
Yes, it does.
Let's see. Paid less, subjecting him to unwarranted scrutiny, refusing to promote him to management, all while requiring him to perform the job of a manager, holding secret meetings so as to hide the promotion of others from Williams, making it uncomfortable, humiliating, and almost impossible for Williams to do the job he was assigned to do. He further alleges his objections to unfair treatment brought retaliation, like the requirement that he track his duties and time in 15-minute increments, something only one other employee, another African-American, was required to do. Well, I mean, the suit certainly makes it sound like racism was going on there, doesn't it? I don't know.
But that's what they want you to think, too.
Well, that's obviously the point, so... You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I hate to say it wasn't going on, because if it was, then you feel like an ass, right? But,
right.
On the other hand, I've seen people of all stripes just not be able to deal with situations and start blaming others. I mean, hell, anybody who play Overwatch lately, you get blamed for all kinds of shit, no matter who you are. So, I don't know. Anyways, though, what do you think about this idea of shit canning your IT people and then suing them because you no longer have access to stuff?
Well, I think the crux of the lawsuit comes down to when they're calling back his work laptop, they're calling back the work laptop and the work that's on the laptop. That's their intellectual property. So if he wiped it, then he destroyed the records to get back into the email server, and that's assuming that they were there to begin with, but assuming that they're actually there and are supposed to be there, it's not as much that they fired him and then sued him to get access to this stuff. It's that he destroyed their ability to get access, and now they're suing him for that. It's kind of like if I get fired, and then on my way out, I break several windows, and I don't know, throw a security guard through a brick wall. When they ask me to repair the damages, it's not as much as me being wrong as me correcting the wrong I've done.
Well, right. I guess what drives me nuts about this is I know correct IT management practices, and you usually want to make sure that one employee doesn't have this kind of administrative control over every fucking thing.
No.
You want to make sure that your entire operation is not dependent on one piece of hardware. In this case, a piece of hardware that wasn't even located in your main campus, but was in a remote employee's home. I mean, what if the laptop was stolen instead of wiped? What if it was... I mean, there are so many what-ifs here. What if this guy wasn't fired? He was hit by a bus. Your company
stolen instead of wiped? Not his fault. Hit by a bus? Also not his fault. Him wiping it? His fault.
I agree.
It happened. Now, it is stupid that he's the only one that had access. His boss should have had access.
I mean, that is really shitty business continuity planning. I'm just telling you.
And if they needed a different email address to set up the Google accounts, then it should have been whateverschool.yahoo as the originating email address.
Yeah, like you said, a shared admin, just like you said. I mean, I don't know. It just shows the blind eye some people turn to IT practices and things. They don't understand or realize like how dependent they are on them, and they just assume that shit works, you know. It's just email.
It's the magic
it's
box
always
in the corner, and it works.
Exactly. And it's like, you guys have no freaking clue.
Well, I will say this. If you were going to say, as this lawsuit makes the point, if you were going to say, I guess Psychos has a good point about it, making it an at Yahoo at the number of other people who could have helped you recover that password because they keep having leaks. Yeah. The thing with this is, if you're going to say that IT employees can be held personally, financially responsible, because Madman was comparing it to breaking windows and other things like that, but this wasn't him doing random acts of damage on the way out the door.
If he actually formatted his work laptop and destroyed the documents, yeah, that's him destroying the documents.
Well, now in another article, not this one, the one I read a couple of days ago, he said he did not format it, but they probably formatted it as part of their because he said the school probably formatted it. He said he didn't. He was disputing that fact. It's not in this article.
If that fact's in dispute, then yeah, he can't be held reliable because he turned over all of the documents. He did his job. They fired him. It's their fault if they set their documents on fire. It's his fault if he set their documents on fire.
Well, not only that, it's mismanagement because, like I said, they had that one central account that was tied to someone's personal email address enterprise.
Then obviously nobody in their enterprise knew how their systems were set up.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. That's I don't know. I think the school is fucked. They need to get some real IT people in there and actually figure out how their systems work and prevent things like that from happening. It sounds like to me it's just one of those companies that doesn't value IT at all, and they just, you know, email's working, it's up, okay, you know, never look at it ever again.
If you can hold, I guess I'm trying kind of generalizing here. If you can hold an IT employee responsible for the systems even after they've quit or beyond being fired, financially responsible for some of these systems that they were managing as course of their job. Now in this case, Madman, you're saying he purposely denied them access, and I guess the reason I'm not immediately jumping on that is because I think that fact's in dispute, as I saw in the other article the other day. Which I could not find quickly when I was trying to set up the show notes, so I just went with this one. But the thing was that I felt like they were trying to hold him responsible for their fuck-ups and mismanaging this account, right?
Oh, definitely.
And, I just feel like if you're going to hold ITP, there are other positions where individuals can be held liable for services, especially in the financial industry, that their company is provided. Well, yeah,
yes.
Even after they've left. So they go after their work and say, hey, you fucked this up. There are fines associated with that. That's on you, not the company.
Where
now,
can they do
that? And mortgage underwriting's a big one.
Okay, like notarizing, like legal funding, government documents or something.
Yeah, usually involves licenses, though. So, you hear the term bonded.
Yeah.
But, if it's shit like that, then if that's going to be the case, then IT workers need to be licensed and bonded just like any other profession like that.
Sounds like it.
Because...
in their case, it comes down to whether or not he destroyed the laptop, because it's not just bonded individuals. We'll go with retail. No bonding required in any retail job, whatever. If I have access to your inventory server and I hear that I'm getting fired and I trash it in such a way that the data is unrecoverable, that's going to cost you a lot of cash and man hours just to get it up and running again. I can be held liable for that. And it's not...
Right, because that, my position, you destroyed it when you were still technically an employee.
So, the suit for the school, it comes down to whether or not he formatted the laptop or the school formatted the laptop. Because if he did it, then no bonding's going to get around that. No anything's going to get around that in any job. If you do damage to something,
oh no,
you can
be held responsible. Him fucking up. Don't misunderstand. That is him personally fucking up.
In an instance of, let's just say, bad architecture, he did everything right. He sent them the laptop and they formatted it, and then they're going after him. That's something you'd be thrown out, and he shouldn't be held liable. It's all their fuck up.
So they actually the Register links to the Indy Star paper here. Let me just skim this real quick and see if it has the same stuff from, because this looks more like the one I read earlier.
And with Cypress, the reason I was pulling up employment is just access. You are right. Vandalism is vandalism, whether employment is there or not. We should set up a robotic voice for Cypress.
Oh, that'd be funny.
Just have it annotate everything he types.
Okay, yeah. So they actually set that the fine against him, the lawsuit was settled in default because the guy could not get to Indianapolis to defend himself. That's crappy. Williams told the school the password had been saved on the laptop computer that he returned in May. The college claims William erased the laptop hard drives and installed new operating systems. Williams' lawyer told IndyStar that the college must have erased the hard drive. In his federal complaint, Williams said he couldn't move from his home in Riverdale because he has joint custody of his daughter. So, yes, he said he did not format the hard drive. So he's disputing that fact, but because he didn't get there and defend himself, they did a summary judgment. Which, that's a little rough considering he already couldn't make it out there, but...
On the summary judgment, he can appeal in his jurisdiction in most cases.
Yeah, let me go ahead and throw this link in the chat room as well. But I think that's what his lawyer was trying to do. But I guess my point is, if you're going to hold IT people responsible at a personal level for some of these systems, hazard pay?
Well, this is kind of a bad example for it because the argument isn't that something went wrong in the course of his job. It's that he sabotaged something, and that's two different things.
Now, he's disputing that, but...
Yeah. So, if something went wrong in the course of his job, and he was doing everything according to the book, then no, he shouldn't be held liable. It's just shit happens.
Yeah.
So I guess I don't get that. What do you mean nothing went bad?
On that one, the whole crux of the school suit is that he actually deleted the information they needed intentionally. So if that happened, then he's liable. Now, if he did everything correctly, returned the laptop with all of the information on it, and they formatted it, then he did everything right. And the school doesn't have a suit because he was doing everything according to his job in good faith right up till his employment ended.
Got it.
I said his. I think this mentioned that it's a she, is it?
No, the lawyer's a she.
Okay.
The employee was a he.
Okay. I wasn't intending to be insulting if I was.
No.
Is what I was going with that one.
No, you're fine. So this raises the fun conversation topic. Let's just say hypothetically that somebody who does say security engineering work for a financial has a whole bunch of the keys backed up in an interesting location. Gets mad when he gets fired. Okay, I'm going to stop right now because that's going to get stupid quick.
Well, you know.
The difference there is getting caught.
yes, it is.
Did I say that out loud?
How many of that person's friends does that person want to help finance their retirement?
Well, we'd have to see just exactly what some of those records are worth and do a little calculation. Have to pull open the Excel spreadsheet here and get an idea of what some of this might be worth. And the hypothetical. I'm going to have to tell this person to open the hypothetical Excel spreadsheet and go through some of those records and see what they might be worth. I'm just kidding. I don't have an Excel spreadsheet of all the records from my employment. It's
that stuff's still there. Nose is growing long.
The keys are
it's a Word document.
No, it's a Google open. Sheets spreadsheet.
Well, I'm not dumb enough to put that shit in public. Google. Holy no. Hell. No.
It's a notepad. It's a text
but,
document.
Anyways,
Rocket snailing along.
Oh, righty-o. Don't search internal documents on Google from work.
You'd be amazed how many of them show up there when you do. just CSV, Psychros, if you truly want to know. Anyways, it's so much easier to dump out CSVs of shit in Python than actually writing them out into like a Microsoft format. You know what I mean? Seriously.
Definitely.
I mean, it's so much easier to dump this shit out in CSV.
Well, that has built-in functions to do that.
Not really. I usually just format the strings and do the variable insertion and just dump it in. But I should stop talking about my what would you call that? Red team trial activities. BSV is a small format. Oh, he's too bad he's not around to hear that. I should get his sound clip ready. Anyways, so first news article of tonight. I have lost my mouse cursor. How have I lost my mouse cursor? It's over there.
The cat chased it away.
Well, that's what I get for having like four screens set up. Anyways, Facebook blocks Russia Today from posting until after Trump's inauguration. I know I said I was trying to avoid politics, but this is just fucking funny. Facebook has blocked RT, the Kremlin-backed English news outlet formerly known as Russia Today, from posting videos, photos, and news articles until the day after Donald Trump's inauguration. The ban was enacted after a copyright complaint about a video stream of Barack Obama's press conference on RT's Facebook page on Wednesday. According to Facebook, the 72-hour length of the suspension until 7:25 p.m. GMT on Saturday is not related to Friday night's inauguration. RT said it was attempting to get restored privileges before the event. So
that's just bad timing on Facebook's part.
Well, Facebook has been accused of being partisan. Twitter has been accused of being partisan in their editing. And
accused? I thought that was proven.
It practically is, but I don't know
how
you... But
anyways,
I don't actually care about the political side on this. I'd be just as peeved if Facebook was blocking Mother Jones before Obama's inauguration. Although I don't think Mother Jones was a thing back then.
I think the speeches that they were streaming, weren't they live and free on C-SPAN?
I think that's where they were getting their feed from.
So it's a feed that's public.
I mean, RT website said it had been using a legitimate stream from the Associated Press and then it had been blocked after a misplaced or accidental complaint from Current Time TV, a Russian language news program partly run by Radio Free Europe, a broadcasting organization. Radio Free Europe issued the copyright complaint against RT.
Right. With it coming from the Associated Press, that's even better, because RT, I think, is a member of the Associated Press. At least with C-SPAN, C-SPAN can say, we're government-funded and we don't want a foreign government streaming our shit.
Well, okay, so RT is allegedly the Russian government's propaganda arm, and we fucking know that Radio Free Europe is America's propaganda arm. I love it.
The CIA got our key band.
The shell companies are fighting. Oh, fuck. Facebook will occasionally suspend accounts for copyright violation, although there are a few examples of it happening to news organizations. The RT Facebook page can still post text, and one update on its page said, "We were blocked while live streaming Obama's final press conference." Such things happen because, for example, some other news media live streams carry the same shots and feed, and Facebook considers this a copyright violation. You know, you'd think somebody at Facebook would be smart enough to go, huh, major political event across the world being streamed out for free. How can you claim copyright on a politician's speech, by the way?
All right.
I mean, oh, it's our feed. Fuck that. It's a politician's speech. RT Facebook page can still... Oh, I already read that. Although the incident may turn out to be a mistake, it could have repercussions coming amid strained relationships with the U.S. and the outgoing administration. We're going to start a war with Russia over a fucking Facebook page. Really? Oh, my God.
We knew it was going to come to this.
We live in a cyberpunk world. We've gotten there. We're going to go to war over a damned Facebook page. It's bad enough people going to jail for Twitter posts in Britain. But this... Quickly, everyone back to IRC.
Abandon ship.
Run. and then the rest of this is more RT complaining about how they're mistreated by the West. Sard, Static Madman, somebody save me here. I'm losing it, man.
And nobody says anything.
Yeah. there's nothing to be done. I mean, RT is not allowed to play Farmville anymore. Russia may have done something bad. I mean, no one airs Clinton Dirty Laundry. No Farmville. No Farmville for you.
Quick, somebody ask Vladimir for the to send you some corn or whatever the hell you do in that game.
I was going to send him some pigs to help him level his farm, but now, no. Facebook said no Farmville.
So, in all seriousness, this is one of the reasons, like, we've had people ask us before, why isn't Pure Decking on YouTube, for example? And I've played with the idea of doing YouTube channels, just not for stuff that's related to Galaxy 15. The Potato Lord Morbs, yes! in all seriousness, though, I don't. The reason I do this on a independently rented server, IceCast server, and we host our own shows in web space I'm paying for, as opposed to using Tumblr and say like a YouTube or actually this would be better on like a SoundCloud. The reason I'm doing that is so that I actually have a measure of control over our content. You notice, one, I'm not a big fan of ads, at least not on this station. And, you know, I've got some other projects that might end up having ads in them, but that's not for G15. Mainly because if I started doing ads, some of our artists would want to get paid, and, well, that would get awkward because I don't actually have any money to pay them. But, so we've always said Galaxy 15 Radio has no money, which is true. But, so... I don't know. I just kind of feel like it's asking for trouble. But, if you're totally reliant on Facebook and Google and Tumblr and God knows what else to maintain your media empire, you're in trouble.
Yeah, how is that a sustainable business model when you're relying on other platforms to do your business? I mean, completely.
Most of the big ones have a separate site as well. They just go through there to get the views. Like the Cypress
is a good point. I'd run across foul of the licensing really quick. So, but that's not the point.
The Young Turks, their biggest audience is on YouTube, but if YouTube ever shut them down, they do have their own site where they also stream. Almost every media personality on YouTube does.
Yeah. But, again, this goes back to the point of I don't think relying on these systems is very smart, because if they develop a political ideology, like Twitter and Facebook seem to have done during the last election, and you happen to be on the wrong side of that, guess what? I mean, I get most of these big channels have their own site and they run their own stuff, and you know they usually have multiple sources: Facebook, YouTube, Twitch. Oh, what's the other one? Vimeo. But the point I'm getting at is when you're relying on these services like that, and it's a free account, you're not paying for anything, there's no actual terms of service or agreements, you have no control. You have no say, and if they decide they don't want your content on there anymore, and that's the only place most of your audience knows how to find you, you're fucked.
Yeah. It reminded me when you started talking about this, about the, it was the Google RSS, like online RSS reader or whatever. I used the shit out of that. It was free, they just shut it down one day. There's nothing I can do about it, but it's the same way that you don't have any control over that shit.
So, I mean, do I still use Gmail for email? Sure. Do I still use cloud services for stuff? Of course. I just have the understanding that that could disappear overnight. It might just wake up and it's gone.
Right. There's nothing you can do about it.
Because I pissed somebody off or said the wrong political opinion or, accidentally told the world that I voted for Gary Johnson. I mean, shit.
Oops.
Fuck! Quick, delete that!
Edit the stream!
How do we go back in time?
In his defense, he did a good job in New Mexico. He just got stupid after he smoked too much weed.
Oh,
there's a borderline. You can only smoke the right amount of weed. He stopped after that.
All right, next door. I mean, does anybody have anything they want to tack on here before I move on?
Nah, it's just making fun of Facebook.
Yeah.
That's too easy.
Yeah. All right, next article is from Ars Technica. It's very similar to a Florida article I had last week. Court rules against man who is forced to fingerprint unlock his phone. A Minnesota appellate court ruled Tuesday that a convicted burglar who was forced by a lower state court to depress his finger on his seized phone, which unlocked it. The case stated was Minnesota versus Matthew Von Diamond. Three names. He's a horrible person. He has three names.
I think you raped puppies.
He's a burglar, so he probably deserves to be smacked around a bit. Marks the latest episode, or actually, no. If you catch a burglar in your home, shoot their ass. A little bit of chlorine in the gene pool there. Now, if they're on your lawn, you got to remember to drag the body back in before you do it. It's less paperwork for the police that way. And get the garden hose out if you leave the trail. In 2015, Diamond went to trial and was convicted of the burglary, and nobody disputed me telling people to drag bodies back into their homes before calling the cops. Really?
We just accept it now, Morps. We're used to it.
Tactical advice. And if you shot him in the back, roll him back over, line up your shot, and shoot him again in the front.
Make it look like it went straight through. Yeah, there you go. Makes sense to me.
I need moral guidance. Come on, Static.
Nope. Shoot him dead. And I got a pig farm to help you bury him in.
Oh, okay. There you go. Let's see. In 2015, Diamond went to trial, was convicted of the burglary and two other lesser charges. He was sentenced to 51 months in prison. That doesn't seem like a lot for burglary.
It's not armed burglary, so yeah. If it's unarmed, it's not a lot of time.
Diamond appealed largely on the grounds that being ordered to unlock his phone constituted a violation of his Fifth Amendment rights of self-incrimination. being enticed and even compelled to hand over passcodes or fingerprint-enabled passcodes gets to the heart of what law enforcement calls the going dark problem. I need the dramatic music queued up just for reading stuff like that.
Yeah, that was a hell of a buzzword.
I know.
Do they really call it that?
Yeah, yes. they call it going dark because, my God, they're using encryption.
Oh, Jesus.
Christ, people. Well, you know, there are ways around it. Usually you get the endpoint, but again, of course, we were joking at work today that I'd eventually get shot by the cops for telling them they were wrong about something. So, let's see. Still trying to stall.
No, you don't tell
the
cops. You tell the prosecutor. Cops have guns. The prosecutor doesn't.
Well, you know, the worst part was nobody at work even disputed the concept. It's like, yeah, I could see that.
See you getting shot by the cops.
It's like you'd pull out their own handbook and tell them exactly why they're fucking up, and they just shoot you. Fuck. Thanks, guys.
I would dispute the cops being that bloodthirsty. I'm not going to dispute you getting shot by the cops. They are two different issues.
Okay. Anyways, let's try this again. Being enticed or even compelled to hand over passcodes or fingerprint-enabled passcodes get to the heart of what law enforcement calls the going dark problem. It took me a while to stall and set that up. Authorities say that the modern unbreakable encryption frustrates law investigations aimed at the tech-savvy criminals who refuse to unlock their... He's a burglar. Tech-savvy? As Ars has reported... Go ahead, Matt.
I was going to say, isn't it just default encryption on his phone?
Yeah, it's pretty much on by default anymore. It's fingerprint unlocked phone. That means it's less than 2 years old and it's probably just the default encryption and...
I thought you had to combine that with a pin. Always. Do you not always have to use a pin?
Only if the phone's been turned off.
Okay.
So, as Ars has reported before, under the Fifth Amendment, defendants cannot generally be compelled to provide self-incriminating testimony, what you know. But giving a fingerprint, what you are, for the purposes of identification or matching an unknown fingerprint found at a crime scene has been allowed. Wasn't until relatively recently, after all, that fingerprints could be used to unlock a smartphone. The crux of the legal theory here is that a compelled fingerprint isn't testimonial, it's simply compelled production, like being forced to hand over a key to a safe. Had the defendant been forced to disclose his passcode instead of depressing his finger to his phone, the constitutional analysis would have been different. Instead, the task that Diamond was compelled to perform, provide his fingerprint, is no more testimonial than furnishing a blood sample, providing handwriting or voice samples, standing in a lineup, or wearing particularly clothing, the appellate court found.
I think that's a good
really.
So within
but
weeks,
that's personally identifiable information. Your biometric, your biometrics of your body is your own PII. I don't see how
so
they.
You're
can...
saying you're not allowed to stand in a lineup because the but image of your face is identifiable information.
Well, wait till you get facial recognition phones where they can just hold the thing up to your face because that's next.
The trick is, if you want your phone secure, that. Do a password. Password is what you know. You can always say you don't know it. They can't force you.
Well, especially if you make it some retarded, like, 15-character password, right? It's like, all right, start typing. I have a tiny penis. Let's see you type that in a minute, officer. So, yeah, that'll end well. Again, with Morps being shot by the police. It was... Within weeks of the October 2014 burglary, Diamond was arrested, and the Cheska Police Department got a warrant to search his seized phone. However, investigators were initially stymied by Diamond's passcode on his phone. They went back to the court and obtained a motion to compel Diamond to press his finger on the phone fingerprint reader to open the device. He refused and was found in contempt of court. They finally complied. Diamond provided his fingerprint, and the phone was immediately searched months after it was seized. Bullshit! Calling bullshit! Calling bullshit right there. All these phones that use the fingerprint reader, if they've been turned off or they have not been unlocked for more than 24 hours, they cannot be unlocked with the fingerprint. They require a passcode.
Okay.
I've had an iPhone. I've got an S7. I've used the fingerprint sensor on both of them. Guess what? If it's been more than a day since you've unlocked the thing with your fingerprint, it will not let you do it. Or if the phone has restarted for any reason, you have to use a passcode.
Oh.
So even if they kept it on a charger to keep it on, they would have had to have gotten it unlocked once a day for a fingerprint reader to work. So they kept it for months.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
So after unlocking the phone, a detective obtained incriminating evidence of the burglary. The specific make and model of the phone is not specified in the court's opinion, but is likely to have been an Android phone. Since the introduction of the fingerprint scanner on iPhones, a passcode is required after 48 hours or a reboot of the device. Well, most Android phones are the same. In fact, all the Android phones I've played with that have a fingerprint scanner, after a day, so I guess iPhone is 48 hours, but it's always been a day that I've noticed. Maybe I changed it to a day on my iPhone. But I know on my phone it was always a day, so I may have changed it. But anyway, so I guess the default's 48 hours. I can accept that. But still,
so not they're saying timeline they took.
Yeah, not the months they took. According to the appellate court's opinion, however, there was a slight twist in what the court actually ordered. During an April 2015 contempt of court hearing, there was confusion about which of his fingerprints would actually unlock the phone. According to the prosecutors, the district court ordered, take whatever samples you need. The appellate court's opinion continued. Diamond then asked the detectives which finger they wanted. They answered, the one that unlocks it. It is clear that the district court permitted the state to take samples of all of his fingerprints and thumbprints. The district court did not ask Diamond whether his prints would unlock the cell phone or which print would unlock it, nor did the district court compel Diamond to disclose that information. There is no indication that Diamond would have been asked to do more had none of his fingerprints unlocked the phone. Diamond himself asked which fingers the detectives wanted and was ready to comply with the order when the detectives answered his question. Diamond did not object then, nor did he bring an additional motion to suppress the evidence based on the exchange that he had initiated. So because he asked what finger they wanted...
The detective said, I want the one that'll unlock the phone. It's which one do we start with? The correct one, sir.
Well, all right. Drop your pants.
I don't know if it can read penis wrinkles.
Didn't we have this conversation before? I don't know if we had it on a show, but I know in TeamSpeak we've had that conversation before. I know it.
Give it your elbow. Will a co-unlock it?
It's got a pattern on it. Why not?
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm just thinking I need to get another Android phone with a fingerprint reader so I can try various body parts and see what works.
Your big toe will work.
So, because, as much fun as the dick joke is, I doubt that would actually stop most courts.
Yeah,
say, yeah, like, whip it out, yeah, unlock your phone.
Do it, whatever.
Oh, no, you don't say what part of your body you unlock it. They get a warrant for your fingerprints, and when your fingerprints don't work, you're just like, apparently it's not my phone, sir.
Good point.
Or maybe you always hold the phone upside down when you do your fingerprints.
Oh, yeah. Try and trick it that
way.
Well,
actually, I think the iPhone does the auto-rotate thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a non-specific way to do it. Well, no. They ask for your fingerprints. Just make sure as they're arresting you, you drag your hands across some concrete or something.
Ow!
A hot iron.
I'm not... Ow.
Burn them off. You don't need them.
I guess it depends on how desperate you are to hide what's on that phone.
I'm just wondering if indeed they needed the passcode.
Psychros.
Because the passcode, I would say you can't be compelled to give a password.
I guess I'm confused about the fact... that maybe you can turn that option off, but I mean I'm calling bullshit because most of these phones, after a day or so of not unlocking them, they make you punch the code in. So
they didn't have his passcode at all.
No, they didn't. They used his fingerprint to unlock it.
Hmm.
So, but yeah, it's Psychros. My S7 is pretty particular about it too. I actually. I only have a couple of fingers that actually unlock my phone because I have that same finger in there multiple times to get the angles for the damn thing. So the iPhone fingerprint sensor at least does seem a bit better than the Android one on the S7. So I don't know if anybody else has played with one of that or not, or has an opinion or cares, but
do
we have anything on that before we move on to this one? So Static sent me this one. It's from GeekWire. Amazon wants FCC approval to test mysterious wireless communication system.
That was a buzzword. They could have gone with proprietary or new.
Yeah, I was going to say that's all it is.
A cryptic... Okay, that's enough of that joke. This is going to take forever. A cryptic filing with the Federal Communications Commission reveals a plan by Amazon to test a new wireless communication system at its downtown Seattle headquarters and in rural Washington State. Amazon seeks FCC experimental authority to evaluate prototype equipment and associated software designed to support innovative communication capabilities and functionalities, reads the application for FCC Special Temporary Authority. Filing does not disclose the precise nature of the project. It's Half-Life. They're opening a portal to Zitno. According to Business Insider, which broke the story, points out that the Amazon contact on the filing is Neil Woodward, a former NASA astronaut who is now senior manager for flight tests and certification for Amazon Prime Air. That suggests the project is related to wireless communications for the company's drone delivery initiative. And they actually have an appendix with the frequency bands. They look like the old television bands.
I was just going to say... If they're posting the broadcast bands, is it mysterious?
Yeah.
No, really? this is pure clickbait on some of these words. Limited number of channels will be used by bands. The applicant will change channels when necessary to avoid interference. So it looks like 734, or actually, no, the uplink starts at 704. 704 megahertz looks like they're going up to, what is that, 2170 megahertz looks like the max?
2170.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's the old TV bands, isn't it?
VHF
stuff?
Maybe.
I think that is.
It wouldn't surprise me, because, I mean, that's why they wanted to reclaim those and make everyone go digital, is they want to resell them.
Well, yeah, because the old TV bands used a lot of that spectrum, and digital is going to use much, much smaller chunks of it.
Right.
And the old TV bands, those things are hardy, dude.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm not arguing that, especially now that nothing's on them. In the FCC application, Amazon said it proposed to initially to operate a limited number of low-power, temporary, fixed-base transmitters and associated mobile units indoor and near its company facility in Seattle, Washington. Additional tests would be conducted outdoors at a remote, rural location near its facilities at Kennewick, Washington. The Amazon is asking the FCC for a 5-month authorization for the testing. The company seeks to collect sufficient data within that time frame to assess the performance and reliability characteristics of prototype equipment and software to determine if additional research is needed and should be scheduled. Amazon recently started making its first drone deliveries in the UK. FAA regulations limited the tech giant's ability to conduct testing in its home country. So they think these are for controlling drones over longer frequencies. I kind of wonder if they're working on a cell phone competitor, something other than CDMA and GMS. Because those haven't changed much in years.
Wireless broadband. I would love for that to be wireless broadband.
I mean, Amazon's got their hand in a lot of pots, so it's hard to say what they're really doing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Static, what do you think? You're the one sent me the story.
I was like you. I'm thinking maybe it's a phone situation, but I like Mad Men's idea, though, too.
I know they were looking at that in Europe, and... not Amazon, but Google has been looking at it in the States.
Yeah. That'd be kind of cool.
So, I have an article from TechDirt. It's kind of bullshit, but it's also TechDirt. Teleportation delivery system. That would be amazing, Psychros. They actually had teleporters. I would be all about that. I would have an Amazon Echo in my house to have an Amazon teleporter. Fuck, I'd
hell
take
yeah.
That.
There's some research in the Canary Islands. We've actually been teleporting up photons and some subatomic particles.
I want the ship from Star Trek, dude. I want to be able to teleport over
take
a couple hundred miles.
Okay, and I don't want anyone to have the shit from Star Trek. I don't want everyone to have a fucking Death Ray in their house. We have enough crazy people.
Death Ray? That's not creative use of a transporter. No. Creative use of a transporter is transporting a small chunk of the sun onto the surface of somebody's lawn that you don't like.
You don't need to even do that.
That's pretty creative.
The amount of matter that was turned to energy with our nuclear bombs, it's a few grams of uranium. That's why there's fallout. If you can turn a book into just energy, That's taking out several cities. We're not talking one. We're not talking New York City gone. We're talking New York State and a chunk of the surroundings gone.
Well, we could really solve. I'm not gonna finish that joke. I was gonna make a glass of Middle East joke, but I'm just. You know, it's been done. It's just been done. Does anybody want to do this?
So,
bullshit?
Have you declared the horse dead? That's what
I'm
hearing on that one.
I think I'm declaring the horse dead on glassing the Middle East because that joke's just been done to death.
Ooh, law enforcement. This could be interesting.
All right, this article is from Tech Dirt. I kind of think it's a little bit of bullshit, but it's Tech Dirt, so what do you expect? Law enforcement has been using OnStar and SiriusXM to eavesdrop and track car locations for more than 15 years. I should have restarted the clip. Anyways.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I think that joke's funny.
I do believe they had a warrant, though.
Thomas Fox Brewster of Forbes is taking, and this is why I have the Tech Dirt article, because Forbes blocks you if you don't turn off your ad block, and, you know, fuck that noise. So, Forbes is taking a closer look at a decade plus of in-car surveillance, courtesy of the electronics and service manufacturers are installing in as many cars as possible. Following the news that cops are trying to sweat down an Amazon Echo in hopes of hearing murder-related conversations, it's time to revisit eavesdropping that's gone on for years prior to today's wealth of in-home recording devices. One of the more recent examples would be found in a 2014 warrant that allowed the New York State Police to trace a vehicle by demanding the satellite radio and telematics provider SiriusXM provide location information. I wonder if you have SiriusXM in your car, but you don't have an active subscription, can they do anything?
Probably, because the transceiver is still there.
Yeah, it's still there. So. Yeah.
I didn't know Sirius could be used to track your car. I knew OnStar does that. I mean, they
add on purpose, though. Right.
In this case, SiriusXM complied by turning on its stolen vehicle recovery mode. So it's the same thing OnStar does, which allowed law enforcement to track the vehicle for 10 days. SiriusXM told Forbes it only does this in response to search warrants and in court orders. That may be the case for real-time tracking, but any location information captured and stored by Sirius can be had with nothing more than a subpoena, as this information is normally considered a third-party record. It's not just satellite radio companies that allow cops to engage in surreptitious tracking. OnStar and other in-vehicle services have been used by law enforcement to eavesdrop on personal conversations between drivers and passengers. Okay. Before anybody gets too panicked, they need a transceiver for tuning, Psychros, so that you can tell it what you want to listen to, because it's not, I don't think it's really satellite. I think it's, a lot of it goes over the cell networks, doesn't it?
Really? Because I thought it was satellite.
Maybe some of it is satellite.
I don't know.
Huh, I know even satellites have transceivers.
Well, no, they used to offer other services through things like Sirius. You know, they had, you know, weather and shit like that you could get. So, I don't know. I never actually subscribed to Sirius. My car supports it, so I guess they could listen to me. Listen to me screaming at the people in front of me. You have a fucking gas pedal! Anyways, I bet there's somebody at OnStar just laughing their ass off at me losing my shit at other people on the road. In at least two cases, individuals unwittingly had their conversations listened in on by law enforcement. In 2001, OnStar competitor ATX Technologies, which later became part of Agro, I don't know, was ordered to provide roving interception of a Mercedes-Benz S430V. It initially complied with the order in November of that year to spy on audible communications for 30 days. But when the FBI asked for an extension in December, ATX declined, claiming it was overly burdensome. Ooh, for those systems it would be, because it's basically leaving a cell phone call open for a month.
I see it. Believe it, yeah.
In 2007, OnStar system in a Chevrolet Tahoe belonging to a Gareth Wilson in Ohio, contacted OnStar staff when an emergency button was pressed. As noted in the 2008 opinion from the case, Wilson was unaware that the button had been hit. Subsequently, an OnStar employee heard the occupant discussing a possible drug deal and allowed an officer from Fairfield County Sheriff's Office to listen to the conversation. When the vehicle was located and searched, marijuana was found, and an indictment filed days later. Ironically, the subject hadn't even signed up to the OnStar service, but it hadn't been switched off. Well, there you go. So even though you're not paying for the shit...
Oh, emergency contact, that's kind of hard to shut off sometimes.
That's true.
Different ordinances in different cities require 911 to be accessed every way it can.
The 2001 case didn't end well for law enforcement. It wasn't that the court had an issue with the eavesdropping, but rather that the active listening in limited the functionality of the in-car tech, which the court found to be overly burdensome. OnStar is also asked to engage in real-time tracking by law enforcement. While OnStar denies it collects location information, it too has stolen car recovery mode that allows OnStar to track vehicles. OnStar also says it will only do this in response to warrants and court orders, or an exigent circumstance necessitates the need to bypass these constitutional protection. What the hell is that?
If you request that they find it for you, I believe. My kid's been stolen.
I guess. In the car. Yeah. We think the bomb is in the car. What OnStar definitely won't do is let the public know how many times law enforcement has asked to track vehicles. Probably a lot. The company told Forbes it doesn't release the numbers of these requests. Plenty of vehicles come in with built-in GPS-reliant devices, most of which perform some sort of data retention. Although not considered to be real-time, it can be obtained without a warrant, thanks to the incredibly outdated third-party doctrine. Private conversations can be captured and recorded with warrants, which makes a large number of vehicles on the road confidential informants on standby. Courts have generally been... Well, this is why I don't like tech dirt. Their articles are pretty opinionated. Courts have generally been sympathetic to law enforcement and use of in-car technology, finding that the use of built-in tools to be less intrusive than officers installing their own devices on suspects' vehicles. Certainly, law enforcement finds these pre-encrypted listening tracking devices more convenient as well. The expansion of in-car tech has led to a law enforcement at the expense of privacy expectations. While drivers can't reasonably expect their travels on public roads to be private, the collection of location data by third parties basically puts drivers under constant surveillance, relieving law enforcement from the burden of actually having to dedicate personnel, vehicles, and equipment to this task. And if the cops can't get this location information from in-dash systems, they can probably grab it from the driver's cell phone. Well, yeah. Law enforcement may find encryption to be slowing things down. Well, not as long as the companies say okay. So...
honestly, if they're getting a warrant and a court order, I'm not seeing an issue.
Not really. I mean, yeah, it's kind of annoying that, you know, your car might be listening to you, but how much shit just has a microphone on it these days? I mean, hell, they could hack your cell phone and just start listening in. Some TVs start recording what they're hearing. I mean, shit. Your fucking Xbox is constantly listening in case you decide you want to turn it on at a moment's notice. So... I mean, it doesn't surprise me. I mean, what did I say earlier? It is a cyberpunk world now. Deal with it. Now, if you want to be a career criminal, you have to learn to start modifying your electronics to at least crimp the microphones or disable them or
you know,
only buy old cars. I don't know. Fuck. Any other opinions before we move on to my next to last story?
Nope, go for it.
Nope, all right. Yeah, I guess it is kind of like, or Amish. Yes, Psychros, because we can always make fun of the Amish on the internet. They will never see it. Let's see. Next to the last story for tonight, anti-surveillance clothing aims to hide wearers from facial recognition.
It's a hoodie. It's called a hoodie.
It's called a hoodie.
It's a fucking hoodie.
What the fuck? That's ridiculous.
Burka. I'm not a Muslim.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, burka and hoodie. That's how I do it.
The use of facial recognition software for commercial purposes. Actually, Static, you sent me this one too, didn't you?
No.
No?
No.
Did
no.
I find
you,
this?
You found this one, yeah.
I found this one. Okay. I'm just trying to make sure I give credit for when people do send me stories. The use of facial recognition software for commercial purposes is becoming more common, but as Amazon scans faces in its physical shop and Facebook searches for photos of users to add tags to, those concerned about their privacy are fighting back. Berlin-based artist and technologist Adam Harvey aims to overwhelm and confuse these systems by presenting them with thousands of false hits so they can't tell which faces are real. The Hyperface project involves printing patterns on clothing or textiles, which then appear to have eyes, mouths, and other features that a computer can interpret as a face, although the sample they have here basically looks like the Minecraft face repeated a few thousand times and then put through the Slenderman filter. This is not the first time Harvey has tried to confuse facial recognition software. During a previous project, CV Dazzle, he attempted to create an aesthetic of makeup and hairstyle that would cause machines to be unable to detect a face. We've talked about
that.
No,
they can detect it. They just decided those people are fugly as hell or look retarded. And they don't want to make fun of the potatoes. The computer was being nice.
Speaking at the Chaos Communications Congress hacking conference in Hamburg, Harvey said, as I've looked in an earlier project, you can change the way you appear, but in camouflage, you can think of the figure and the ground relationship. There is also an opportunity to modify the ground, the things that appear next to you, around you, and that can also modify the computer vision confidence score. Harvey's Hyperface project aims to do that by overloading an algorithm with what it wants, oversaturating an area with faces to divert the gaze of the computer vision algorithm. I'm pretty sure I've seen, like, bad knockoff Hawaiian shirts that were, like, photo collages that would probably do the same thing.
Oh, no, dude. The chick shirt from the asteroid guy.
Oh, yeah, that'd do it. Well, hell, your perfect. Marvel... The Marvel underwear you always brag about would probably do it. That's got a bunch of faces on it.
Yes, it does, but do you really want to see me in nothing but my boxers?
No! No, I don't! But I'm not putting it past you to walk around with them on your head to confuse the facial recognition software.
Wasn't thinking that way, but yeah, I could do that too.
The resulting patterns, which Harvey created in conjunction with the International Interaction Studio Hyphen Labs, can be worn or used to blanket an area. It can be used to modify the environment around you, whether it's someone next to you or whether you're wearing it or around your head in a new way. So it's a pattern that can be printed on textiles and, you know, jackets and scarves and shirts and shit. So, yeah, it's interesting.
My clothes are staring at me now.
You should wash them. That usually solves that problem. Or quit taking the damned LSD. Oh, I've already linked to this, haven't I? Okay. Last article. And it's too bad we don't have Big Brother for this one, because this is a Big Brother article.
Does it involve animatronics?
No. Well, I guess maybe. It's about VR porn.
Oh. Virtual animatronics.
This is from Tom's Hardware. VR porn embraces smell-o-vision. So
no.
You can smell...
What?
Yes, my what? Response exactly.
The fuck?
Didn't even make it through the headline. Just no.
What?
VR porn embraces smell-o-vision so you can smell the debauchery too.
Because everybody needs to sniff Toontang through their phone.
Well, I love the picture. It's somebody wearing a smartphone VR headset and a gas mask.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, let's see how far I get through this. Cam Soda announced a new product called O-Roma. God.
No, you said it wrong. It's O-Roma.
Okay, called O-Roma.
There you go.
I didn't know the porn actor's name was Roma. To use the sense to enhance its adult entertainment. God. Damn. You may recall a couple of stories we published in August about the Oculus Rift, a promotional product Ubisoft built to help spread the word about South Park Fractured Butthole. I don't want South Park makers having access to this by simulating the smell of flatulence. Why? Good God, why? Yes, Psychros, it's two girls, one cup, and smell-o-vision. That's exactly what it is. God. An Oculus Rift was meant as a gag. Ubisoft never planned to sell it to the public, but it's important to note that they did, in fact, make it work.
Oh my God.
They weren't proud of it. We sent our own Niels Bokerstedt to GamesCon in late August to make sure. His traumatic experience left him unwilling to take that risk again, but evidently someone in the adult entertainment industry took inspiration from Ubisoft's creation and adopted it for something a little less repulsive than fresh fart. Although whether you agree with that sentiment probably depends on your own personal beliefs and preferred fragrances. I'm gonna stop. This is mean, this is bad. It features two canisters to attach to the front of the device. Each canister includes three slots for centered cartridges that you can swap out to customize the experience. It's developed over 30 aroma canisters, which include sensual scents that simulate the smell of body odor, pleasing environments, or stimulating aphrodisiacs.
Wow.
I'll take things that'll end well for 1,000, Bob. Just, oh my god. Oh. Any thoughts?
I have no words. It's just, no.
I do have one slight comment. I believe porn has pushed more technological innovation than NASA.
You're getting close, that's for sure.
I don't know. But anyways, for Digital Dojo Design, I've probably linked this one before, but it's still a good resource. GEGeek.com is a big reference list, basically, for sysadmins, IT workers, people who need to know how computers work. So if you've got somebody who's constantly trying to figure shit out on the computer, this is a good link to give to them. It's got malware articles. It's got a whole bunch of Windows 10 management and tweaking articles. Different things with Office, different things with DOS, quick references, Linux, internet, hacking, hardware, all kinds of good lists. So, Cycros, we're just going to let you have that idea so you can go try to push that to the people who made the gas mask there. So all kinds of good information. If you just need to look something up real quick, it's a handy reference. It's nice to have. I don't know, Suave, have you... Suave is not here. I don't know why I said that. I'm almost out of whiskey. Sard, what do you think?
That's awesome, man. I'm gonna look at these tomorrow at work, and I will probably use most of them. That's cool. A pretty neat little list.
I'm actually thinking about giving it to the help desk at work and being like, please stop asking me if it's phishing or not. The answer is probably yes anyways, but
yeah, exactly.
Here, educate yourself. And then the final thing I have is an interesting Android application I came across earlier today, which, honestly, I've not played with it yet, but the concept is awesome. So, and a lot of the reviews I've said it worked, and you do not need root, which is nice. Good. It's called Drive Droid. An Android application that lets you boot your PC from ISO files stored on your phone. It emulates a CD drive using your Android phone with a USB cord, and you give it an ISO file. So, like, if you play around with Linux distros a lot, or you're rebuilding systems all the time, the slug line from the page here, true CD-ROM emulation, most phones emulate a USB stick when using Drive Droid. This is baked into the kernel of the phone, and this means that only images that are compatible with USB sticks are used. All image files will work, but not all ISO files. Most modern Linux systems distribute their ISOs as hybrid files, which means it'll work as a CD or a USB stick. Other ISO files, like Windows, will not work as a USB stick. For these images, there are two options. You can either convert them, or you can enable true CD-ROM emulation on the phone. Converting is easier. Enabling true CD-ROM emulation on the phone will enable the phone to not only be a USB stick, but look like a real CD-ROM drive. This will allow you to boot any ISO from your phone. To get it to work, you need to install a custom kernel on your ROM that supports the features, so that one you probably do need root. But for just flash drive images, no, you don't even need to root the phone.
That's sweet, man. That is super handy for, you know, if you want to, I don't know, just like you said, hey, check out this new distro. Let me plug in my phone. Boom. Boot off.
I ended up not using it because I've actually got a USB hard drive that I forget the model and name of it right off the top of my head, but there's a couple of them now that will let you set it. It'll emulate a USB drive, and you just throw any ISO at it, and it works fantastically.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of them now, so you can look for that. But if you have your cell phone and you need to do something quick, or if you're trying to recover fairly quickly or get a system going in a LAN, there you go.
Yeah.
So
That is super cool.
Anyways, that's all I've got for tonight. Madman, any closing thoughts other than, you know, secretly ordering this the VR porn Smell-O-Vision thing?
Expedited shipping.
Get everything on Amazon.
Static, any closing thoughts?
No.
Zard, any closing thoughts?
No.
Alex, any closing thoughts?
Emergency! Emergency! Emergency!
Always listen to the stream. We're working on it. Pure decking every Thursday. Missing dialogues. This is an old template. I haven't talked to Lore in like a year. of course, the Galaxy 15 radio site. I don't know that the Twitter handle works anymore. The feedback forum doesn't really exist. Just use the subreddit. That's the easiest way to get a hold of me. Cycross, I have looked at a lot of links you sent me. I just forgot about it earlier today when I was setting up news articles, so I probably should have hit that. So, anyways, that is probably the best way to send me feedback. Also, comments on the show, that's a good place to put them. Static? What's up?
Make America Great Again starts tomorrow.
MAGA! MAGA! Oh, it didn't play.
Toasty!
That's not even what I was trying to play. Okay, the other sound clip was messed up. Anyways, that's all I got.